Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight right here on AM 1220 The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us and join in the conversation here this evening. Our toll-free number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call here tonight. And I'll give you our website addresses here and everything in just a moment. But let's go ahead and start our program tonight with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. We just thank you so much for your blessing and providing this medium. Help us to use it for your glory this evening. Help us to be a blessing to somebody tonight. If somebody is searching, help us be able to point them to Christ that they might find him as their Lord and Savior. Help us to encourage believers in their walk with you. Help us to help people to see that you can understand the Word of God, that there's things in it that'll help us and guide us, and that you can ask questions and not have to worry. Father, bless. Use us for your glory tonight. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, welcome to the program tonight. Like I said, I'm Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, and we'll be with you here till midnight tonight. And you can find us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also go to our Facebook page, and that's facebook.com/livewithpastoral. That's facebook.com/livewithpastoral, and you can watch us streaming on Facebook Live right there as well. So encourage you to check that out if you get a chance and want to watch us on there, as long as Facebook's cooperating. Hopefully the sound is coming through. We had some sound issues earlier, but I've got word that the sound is coming through here tonight. We had some at our church services at the Bible Baptist Church where I'm the pastor. We stream our services on Facebook Live on our church Facebook page, and we were having some problems that we weren't getting the volume through. So good to hear that it's going through tonight. I'm glad to hear that. So let's see. Want to also mention here tonight a couple of things here as we get started. Let's see. I lose my train of thought here. I was looking at something here. Just a reminder. I want to remind you to check out ddayprayerproject.org. That's ddayprayerproject.org. We've been talking about this on our programs here lately, and you can find out more about the effort, how you can be involved in the effort of working towards adding the presidential prayer from President Franklin Delano Roosevelt to the World War II Memorial in Washington, D.C. And if you'll go to ddayprayerproject.org, that's ddayprayerproject.org, you'll find out more about that there. Also, hey, got some more people saying that they can hear us online and the sound's coming in good. So thank you for that. I appreciate that. And just a reminder too, as I said, you can listen on the air, of course, on AM 1220 The Word. We're also tonight on 1440 WHKZ out in Warren and down a little into the Youngstown area tonight. So welcome to our listeners there. And then, of course, in the Metro Cleveland area, you can catch us on 96.9 FM. That's 96.9 FM in the Metro Cleveland area, and whatever works. Or you can just go online to whkradio.com. That's whkwradio.com. So throw out all those things for you here in the beginning, but we're just thankful that you're able to be with us tonight. And like I said, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight, toll-free, 888 888- 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we've got some callers coming in already, and we're going to go with Tom in Akron first tonight. Tom, welcome to the program this evening.
Oh, hello, Pastor. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Glad to have you tonight.
Yep. First thing I want to say is Happy Father's Day to you.
Oh, thank you. Yes, I'm glad you said that. That was another thing I wanted to mention here. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers that are listening. Happy Father's Day to you, Tom.
Amen. Thank you. And I got a question. I know we've talked about it in the past about, you know, because I really am one of them Christians. I look for the Lord's return.
Yes, sir. And we're supposed to. The Bible says we ought to be watching and waiting.
Absolutely. That's a commandment for us.
Mm-hmm.
There's a crown awaiting those that look for the Lord.
Amen.
But you know what? There's a lot of confusion. You know, I do try to get as much programming in addition to reading my Bible. I try to listen as much as I can on radio and TV. But, you know, there's people out there, some of these pastors, I think are really Christian people. But why is there so much... why isn't everybody on the same page with this, with the last day's return of Christ? What I'm specifically talking about is, why are so many people taking a position of, you know, some people think that, well, the rapture is going to happen based out of Thessalonians, that we're going to be taken out before the tribulation commences. Others take maybe not as widely as it once was, but some people think a mid-tribulation. Well, why are a lot of pastors preaching on that we're going to go through the tribulation and everything? So it's a little unsettling. I've always subscribed that I believe that, you know, looking at Thessalonians and looking at Revelation chapter 3, that I'm confident in my spirit that that God is going to spare true believers and the faithful. He's going to take us out before that day of the Lord comes. So what's your opinion on all this?
Well, Tom, actually, you bring up some good points there, and just for our listeners to understand, we're talking about some differences in what we call the premillennial camp. There's some groups out there, such as Roman Catholic Church and some Protestant denominations, that don't believe in the tribulation, all that. They think the world's just going to get better, or they're going to achieve some landmark achievement, and then the Lord's going to come back, set up his kingdom, or the church is going to become the kingdom or whatever, and it's just going to go that way, and we'll go right into whatever. They're the post-millennial or amillennialists. But we're talking about, we believe the Lord is going to come back before the thousand-year reign of Christ. Now, the three main divisions there are, you identified a couple of them, the pre-tribulation, which means before the seven-year tribulation. You also mentioned the mid-tribulation, which means that the Lord will come back in the middle of the tribulation. And then there's the post-tribulation, which teaches that the Lord will come back at the end of the 7 years. There's a fourth one that's kind of, you know, it sort of got some favor a few years ago. And it's kind of a modified mid-trib. It's called pre-wrath. All I know is when the tribulation starts and the Antichrist comes on the scene, you can see that in Revelation chapter 5. In fact, let me turn there real quick. You can see that this pre-wrath stuff, that means then it's going to be before the tribulation starts, because the tribulation starts immediately going into the wrath of God being poured out on the world, because in Revelation chapter 6, the first seal that's opened is the Antichrist coming out, establishing his kingdom, and then immediately comes the red horse of war, followed by the black horse of famine, and then the pale horse, followed by death and hell. That's the wrath of God being poured out immediately in the beginning of the tribulation. And then you see, I don't need to go into all of that, but when the fifth seal's opened, you see those slain for the word of God. Those are people who come to Christ during the tribulation. So the premillennial position, which is what I am as well, is based on several things. Let me give you a logical reason for it first. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, Jesus talking about the time that he is going to return to set up his kingdom and all. He says, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, I'm sorry, not set up his kingdom, but when he comes back for us, he says, but of the day and hour knoweth no man, know not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. And so we're talking about what's going to be happening when the Lord comes back for the believers, as what we call the rapture. In Mark chapter 13, verse 32, he says the same thing. But of that day and of that hour, and that hour knoweth no man, know not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Now, the rapture, the catching away of the believers, is something that we can know the day and, or I mean, we can know the season, and we'll get over there to 1 Thessalonians in just a moment. But in these passages where Jesus said, nobody can know the day or the hour. Now, if the Lord was going to come back at the end of the tribulation, I could calculate the day on which the Lord would return for us. Because he's going to come back 7 years to the day. We have Daniel's prophecy in Daniel chapter 9 of the 70 weeks of years. And the final week of years is the tribulation period. And if it was the Lord returning at the end of the tribulation, I could calculate the number from the time that the Antichrist signs the covenant with the Jewish people, add 7 years times.
You could crack it down almost to the day.
Yeah, you could go right to the day that the Lord would be coming back if he was coming back at the end of the tribulation. Simply seven times, 360 days for the Jewish year. And you say, well, what about leap years? Well, you add those in however it works out, but you could calculate the day. If he was coming back at the end of the tribulation, you just know that you'd see when he signed the covenant and you do that. Likewise, if it was a midterm tribulation, it would be 3.5 years. So you would take 3.5 times the number of days in the Jewish year, and you would be able to calculate the day in which the Lord would come back. That, to me, logically makes sense.
Okay. Can I get in the middle here and ask you something else that's on my mind?
Okay. Well, I haven't got to the pre-trib yet.
Okay, I'm just going to say the people that take a post-trib, then I would think that they do not believe in eternal security, because if we're going to go through the tribulation, what's to prevent some Christians from taking the mark?
Exactly, and some are of that opinion, they do that, and they reject Jesus.
You cannot necessarily believe in eternal security.
Right, they reject when Jesus said in John chapter 10 that he gave us eternal life, which by definition is without end. It's eternal. From that point on, if Jesus knew we were going to lose our salvation 10 years later,
he would have told us.
Yeah, he'd have known he did not give us eternal life. He only gave us the potential. But it doesn't say that. He said he gave us eternal life. And then he says very clearly that we will never perish. Well, if he knew that we were going to lose our salvation in 10 years, then we were going to perish.
Washed in the blood of the Lamb, we are safe.
Well, and here's the other thing, too. There's a passage in Hebrews chapter 6, which is misconstrued to talk about losing your salvation when it's really talking about an unsaved person being enlightened by the Holy Spirit and given the opportunity to believe. They taste, they partake, but they're not saved. If they fall away, now if that passage meant that you could lose your salvation, if that's what it means, like these people try to say that it does, then that very passage means you could never get saved again after you lost your salvation. And I've heard more than one person, I've talked with people.
Well, it almost opens the door for works doctrine.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because you're responsible for keeping yourself saved at that point. But, but I've talked to people that said, I lost my salvation, but I got it back at a later time. And they try to use Hebrews chapter 6 to justify it. Well, if that's the case, they could never get saved again. But it's not talking about that. It's talking about people that God enlightens.
They were more or less addressing the Jewish believers that were coming on board and then going back to Judaism, weren't they?
Well, what it is in chapter 5, he's talking about how they had not been able to handle strong meat. They were still on the milk of the word. And he says, now I'm going to give an example of some strong meat. And he gives us this teaching of how, you know, the unsaved person, this is where the Calvinist has some problems. The Calvinist believes that only people can get saved that God created to be saved, created, you know, for salvation. Now, the rest of the people are created to populate hell. And so as a consequence, they can never get saved. They're doomed to be in hell for all eternity for refusing to believe something that's never theirs to believe in the first place.
No, we believe correctly that all people are offered the chance.
Yeah, whosoever will. It's your will. Will you accept or will you reject? And see, unsaved people, the Bible says, cannot understand the things of God because they're spiritually discerned. So how does an unsaved person understand the gospel? The Holy Spirit has to touch the heart of that person and open their eyes to show them the truth, and then God gives them the legitimate offer. Will you or won't you? Whosoever will you be one of those whosoevers that will? And then if you will, he gives you eternal life, which means you'll never perish. And he said very strongly there in John chapter 10 that you'll never perish, which he didn't say you have the potential of never perishing. He said you'll never perish. If you could lose your salvation, he lied both times there.
Well, he tells us in a lot of areas, I will never leave you nor forsake you.
Right. And, you know, God has a hold of us. We don't have a hold of him. When we put ourselves in his hand, in fact, in John chapter 10, Jesus even said, we're in the Father's hand, and no man, that would include myself, can pluck us out of his hand.
Amen.
Who's going to be more powerful than God to pluck us out of his hand?
Right.
You can't.
I believe as you, but it's always just good to hear reassurance. But we are living in a day where there's a lot of teaching getting twisted.
Well, let me get back here to 1 Thessalonians, because I do have some other calls. I think there's somebody else calling in now, too.
Mm-hmm.
But let me get back to this here in just a minute, because we'll finish this up so I can move. I'll have to move on before we run out of time here. But in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it talks about the catching away of the believers. And then when we get into chapter 5, he starts out in verse 1, but the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know, excuse me, I still got this cough from a couple of weeks ago, for when they shall say peace and safety, or I'm sorry, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Now, thief in the night comes, he doesn't announce when he's coming. And he says, for they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. And then he says this, but ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. You're all children, the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. And then he says this, and this is why I know we're not going through the tribulation. He says right here in verse 9, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. The tribulation period, and it's identified by Daniel in Daniel chapter 9, it's a time of wrath and judgment on the world and on the Jewish people for having rejected the Messiah. Now, we have not rejected the Messiah. We've accepted the Messiah. So why do we need to worry about going through the wrath that's going on in the world that rejected him? So we're taken out of the world, just like Noah, a picture of the catching away of the believers. Noah was taken up out of the world in the ark, which is a picture of Christ, when the flood came to bring God's wrath on the world.
Oh, very good. And our ark is the cross.
Exactly. And I don't have time to go through Daniel chapter 9.
Oh, very good. I'll let you go.
So yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks so much. God bless you. Always a pleasure to have you straighten things out.
Well, thank you so much, Tom, for bringing that in and getting us started on that. I appreciate
very
that.
Very important, because all we have to do is look around and see the day we're living in. We know
right.
We're in season. And
right. Well, thank you so much, Tom. Happy Father's Day to you. God bless.
You. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much. All right, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We've got Nancy in Euclid calling in next. Nancy, welcome to the program this evening.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al. Very interesting discussion you had with Tom.
Yes.
I've heard differing opinions as to whether or not President Trump is, saved, born again, and
mm-hmm.
he is born again. He's probably a baby Christian. And in Bible study, this Wednesday, we were studying Romans 14:19.
Romans 14:19, did you say?
Yes. Let us
yeah.
therefore.
Oh, Nancy, I was going to say, you're kind of fading in and out a little bit on your phone.
Oh, okay. I'll talk a little louder.
Can Thank you.
You. Better now?
Yeah, much, okay. much better. Thank you.
Okay. Romans 14:19.
Mm-hmm.
Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. And then Psalm 119:165. Great peace have they that love their law, and nothing shall offend thee. Well, we all know that President Trump, he's like a counterpuncher.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody makes a false accusation or insults him, he will come back with something equally offensive.
Oftentimes.
Anything fake. Often, yeah. So would you say that's evidence of him being unbiblical? Because that's contrary to great peace of they that love their law, nothing shall offend thee.
Well, that's a hard one to answer, really, because if you think about it, from things that I've heard about President Trump, he doesn't get easily rattled by this stuff. Yes, he makes these comments back. A lot of times, they're much more calculated than what people think. And also, when we consider the level of attacks that have been made against him, when you look at the whole, for instance, the whole Russia collusion thing, we now have documentation, handwritten and email, electronic documentation proving that the Hillary campaign, the Democrat National Convention, leadership, and the Obama administration all colluded with the Russians and the Ukrainians and influence with Great Britain and Australian intelligence services, all to use the law enforcement and intelligence services of our country to undermine the election or the candidacy of an opposing party candidate. Now, Watergate pales in comparison. This is really quite simply the greatest scandal that's probably ever afflicted our political process. And most people haven't got a clue what's going on there. They just think Trump colluded with the Russians. Well, it wasn't Trump. It was Hillary. She's the one that got millions of dollars into the Clinton Foundation, gave away 20% of our uranium assets. And I don't have time. We're coming up on the break here real quick. But what I'm getting at is he's faced with a lot of stuff that we never see. Now, he was not a Christian going into this. 4 years ago, he came down that escalator. By all accounts, I don't think he was born again at that time. I don't believe, but I think he did make a profession of faith. Several pastors and others have said and attested that, yes, he's made a profession of faith, but he's a young Christian. He's only been a Christian for, at the most, 4 years. And he does not have time to study the Bible intently. Most Christians who have been saved for 20, 30 years don't even study their Bible that intently and don't understand these things. I've seen people who I am reasonably confident are born again react badly to people. But Trump does seem to be at peace with his his situation. He's not walking about the White House unable to sleep because he's so worried about what's being said about him. He almost seems to thrive on it, but yet when we get saved, our old nature is still very much there. And his old nature is very much there and manifesting itself. But a lot of his tweets and things are more calculated than what people think, because he often says things and does things to provoke a reaction. For instance, his thing about the threatening 30% tariffs on Mexico. People said, oh, this is terrible. It's going to crash the economy. And inside of a week, Mexico said, you know what? We're gonna come to the White House and talk to them. And we got concessions. And we now have the Mexicans saying, you know what, we're going to build a wall on our southern border. And we're going to put more troops on our southern border to keep these people from coming in. And we're going to use the National Guard inside of Mexico to round some of these people up and send them back home.
You know, I support everything he's
doing. But, that's what I'm getting at, is he made the statement about the 30%, which he may not have really fully intended of doing it, or at least not long term. But it was designed to motivate people to act, and I think that's what he does with some of these things. It's his technique of motivating people. He says something outrageous. Oh, okay. You know, it's like when I was going to sell you a car, and I came up to you and I said, "Well, I'll sell you this car for $10,000," and you said, $10,000? That's outrageous. I'll give you $1,000 for it." And I said, "That's outrageous. How about $8? And you said, "That's still outrageous. How about if I give you $3? And eventually, let's say we come to $5. You were willing to pay $5 in the beginning, but you didn't start there. I was willing to accept $5 in the beginning, but I didn't start there. We both feel like we gained something. I gave you an outrageously high price to get you to come up. You gave me an outrageously low price to get me to come down." You know, the art of the deal, I guess. So I hear our music coming up there too. Got about 30 seconds there. But yeah, that's why we need to pray for President Trump. Because as a young Christian, if indeed he is saved, and I have reason to believe that he is, he needs our prayers more than ever. The Bible says we ought to pray for those in authority over us. And he certainly needs them, doesn't he?
Yes, thank you, Pastor.
Well, thank you, Nancy, for calling. I appreciate that. And let me encourage people to pray.
Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show's been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. All right, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. We'll be here live until midnight tonight right here on AM 1220 The Word. Hope you'll stay with us and join in the conversation. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And I want to remind you that we're brought to you tonight not only by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, where I'm the pastor, but also by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. You can find East Coast Pizza at 4889 Turney Road. That's 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. You can give them a call for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. 9100. If you mention Live with Pastor Al, if you've not been there before and mention Live with Pastor Al, you can get a medium one-topping pizza for just $5. That's East Coast Pizza at 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. Call for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. All right, we're going to get back to our program here tonight. And we had a busy first half of the program, a couple of callers talking about a lot of things. We got another caller lined up, ready to go. We'll get to in just a moment. And again, I wanted to wish a happy Father's Day to all the fathers that are out there. And just a reminder, our program this past Friday, if you were listening, I interviewed retired Lieutenant Army Colonel David Boers, also former police chief down in Georgia. And we were talking about the subject of the problem of passive pastors and interfaith deception. And a number of people wanted to hear that again. And we have a hiccup towards getting that program online. And hopefully, maybe Monday or Tuesday, we'll be able to get that online. So if you were looking for that online at our website or our Facebook page, it's not there just yet. We had a little bit of a problem, and so hopefully we'll have that rectified, and we'll have that program available Monday or Tuesday. You can find us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com, and also on our Facebook page at facebook.com/ Live with Pastor Al. Well, we're going to get back into our program again. Like I said, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and we'll get you on the air with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. We've got Terry calling from Ontario tonight. Terry, welcome to the program. How are you doing?
Not too bad. Good evening.
Good evening. Are you getting all the rain up on that on the north side of the lake there?
It's been kind of drizzly for the last couple of days, drizzly and cold.
No, I think between last evening and today, we've had about 1.5 inches of rain at our house. It's just been rain nonstop.
Yeah, it's been it hasn't been a very good weekend.
Yeah, we've had a lot of rain, and yeah, that global warming is setting in. It was just so unseasonably hot here in northeastern Ohio today. I think we topped what, about 71 degrees.
Whatever that is in Celsius.
Yeah, well, this is Fahrenheit, so you do Celsius, right? Forgot about that. But any rate, welcome to the program tonight.
Yeah, thank you. You touched on something that I've been having a problem with that. Churches I go to, Calvinism.
I'm sorry, what was the problem?
I go to a Reformed church.
Yes, and you said problem. I didn't catch what you said last thing.
Oh, you mentioned something about Calvinism?
Oh, Calvinism, yes.
And, you know, I'm not with them when it comes to that Calvinism, because they believe in, you know, like you were mentioning, that they believe that we're all predestinated.
Mm-hmm. Right. You're either created for heaven or you're created for hell, basically, is the idea.
Yeah, and, you know, I was gonna call in to talk to you about that a couple of weeks ago, actually. I don't feel really at peace there completely because of things like that, eh?
Yeah, and there is a big problem with that.
Yeah, and they teach you baptize infant children.
Oh, infant baptism or paedo-baptism, baptizing of small children, not just babies, but small children even.
I don't see where that fits in the
Yeah, and let me just clarify there, too. We're not talking about children that are, like, say, 5, 6 years old that make a genuine profession of faith. We're talking,
right,
like, 2, 3-year-olds or something, right?
Right, babies.
Mm-hmm.
They baptize babies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that is a problem as well. I guess I would say, which part do you want to tackle first?
The one thing I was just going to mention is I just don't know if I should be there or not. Like,
well, and see, that's always a hard thing. I believe that, you know, that we want to be as close to the Bible as we can. We want to walk as close to God as we can. And if our church is leading us away from God, if our church is preaching false doctrine, I mean, personally, I would feel it feel responsible to have to separate myself from that, because I'm an independent fundamental Baptist, and so a bit different than the Reformed, a bit different than the Protestant, a bit different than the Catholic, completely different heritage than all of them. So I'm talking from a different standpoint there, but in terms of going to a church that taught some unbiblical doctrines, I would have trouble with that, because from my background as a independent fundamental Baptist, I am used to, you know, always being drilled in that you want to be as close to the Bible as possible and separate from theological error, and sometimes it's not necessarily, want to say, heresy, but it verges on it, because when we get into error and then we begin to defend that error, that's where we start verging into heresy, I think, and maybe it's kind of splitting hairs a little bit, but it's hard when you're in an area and you don't have many churches to choose from. Then what do you do? And for me and my wife, I'm called into the ministry. I would start a church. That's what I would do. If I were not called into the ministry, with the advent of what we have today with the internet and all, I would probably try, if they can't possibly find something in the area where I live, or within, you know, an hour's drive or something, I would probably try to find something online and then pray that God would bring somebody into my area to start a church. Because the problem is, even, you know, let's say that somebody has a family, and so as the husband, as the mother in the family, you're in a church that, okay, there's things that you know are not scriptural, but you know that, you overlook it because most of the rest of it is scriptural. What happens with your kids, though, that grow up in that, and they're being taught that, and they don't necessarily understand why it's not scriptural? They just know their Sunday school teacher's teaching it, their pastor's teaching it, the people in the church believe it, mom and dad are the only ones that don't. And, you know, they tend to get caught up sometimes in those things. So, you know, somebody has children, they've got to be concerned with them. So, you know, that's one of those things I believe that people need to get with the Lord and pray about and look into their Bible. Sometimes it might be a church where the pastor just genuinely doesn't know. And he might be open to somebody sitting down with the Bible and saying, "Pastor, I don't understand why we're doing this or why we're teaching this, because when I read the Bible, it doesn't measure up." And it may perchance be a situation where the pastor is reachable and he, you know, is open, and you come to a conclusion that the pastor says, yeah, you're right. I just never thought of it before. And he may correct that, and the church can be on the right footing. But generally speaking, when you're in a denominational church, there's more to it than that, because they're invested in their training in that denomination's particular, you know, teachings. And in some, you know, as an independent, we don't have the answering to a council or a bishop or some kind of a parish or something like that. We it's directly between our church under the Lord. But some groups, you know, they operate under some kind of an organization over the local church, and oftentimes that organization may control their pension plan, their insurance plan, all sorts of things, and even sometimes their salaries. And it's hard for somebody who's financially dependent on that organization to question what it says.
Yeah. That's what I see. One thing, that too, is that I can't become a member there unless, I can't take part of communion.
Yeah.
I become a member.
Yeah, and that oftentimes is what you have to do if you're in a situation like that, because some people will say, well, I need to be around Christians, and you know, it's a difficult situation because there are a lot of parts of the world, even right here in the United States, even in Canada, where there just aren't that many good churches. And let me say too, not any church is going to be perfect. I was going to say not every church is perfect, but I amended that as I was saying it to not any church is going to be perfect, because no church is perfect. And so when we're talking about disputing on details or disputing on teachings and all, we're talking about disputing on major things, like whether or not an infant that does not know the gospel should be baptized. That's a major thing, because baptism in the Bible is a public profession of your faith in Christ. So how can a baby that doesn't understand the gospel message be baptized as a public profession of their faith in Christ? They don't even know what's going on. See what I'm saying with that?
They grow up, they say, I'm baptized, you know, I don't need to be baptized.
The reason that the Baptists, you know, way back in the, you know, second, third, fourth centuries, especially when the Catholic Church got off the ground in the fifth century, the reason that the Catholics were called Anabaptists, the Baptists were called Anabaptists, was because Anna meant re, they were rebaptizers. And the reason was this, the early church practiced what the Baptists do today. They baptized by immersion, okay? Even the Roman Catholic Church at one time baptized by immersion. And then what happened after that, or I'm sorry, in addition to that, is we were baptized, when we do still today in the Baptist church, baptized by immersion, upon profession of faith, because the people in the Bible that were baptized were people like the Ethiopian eunuch who said, here's much water, what hinders me from being baptized? And he was told, well, if you believe, you know, Philip said, if you believe, and he said, I believe. And then Philip baptized him. So when I, as a Baptist pastor, baptize somebody, I ask them if they believe. And they give a public profession of their faith, and then I baptize them as a brother or a sister in Christ upon their public profession of faith in Christ. Now, it's not in order to get them saved. It's not in order to wash away original sin. It's not in order to keep them saved. It's simply a public testimony, an outward public testimony of their inward faith in Christ. And see, that began to be changed after the apostles left the scene, after they departed for heaven. And then the next generations come along and people began saying, you know, when Peter on the day of Pentecost said that you must believe and be baptized, you know, for the remission of sins, they were saying for the remission of sins meant in order to get the remission of sins. And it's like there in 2 Peter where where, in Acts chapter 2, where Peter says that. I'm talking about that. I should just turn there real quick because this is, it's helpful to see this. Let me give you the exact language here to make my point. Acts chapter 2, and Peter said unto them, actually before that it says in verse 37, Peter's preached the gospel to them, and it says, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Verse 38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And people came along and said, well, see there, that says you need to be baptized in order to be saved. Well, if that's the case, then if you've ever watched a Western movie where it said Jesse James wanted for train robbery, you know, wanted for bank robbery, that meant that they were hiring him. They wanted to hire him to go rob banks or go rob trains. Well, we know that's not true. That he was wanted for bank robbery because he already robbed the bank. He was wanted for train robbery because he already robbed the train. And that's the simple sense of what's in this right here. Baptized for the remission of sins. Baptized because they already received the remission of sins. But people changed that and said, oh, no, you have to be baptized in order to be saved. And later, baptism washes away original sin. And they added these things. And then they said, oh, no, you should be sprinkled instead of immersed. And somewhere along the line, they said, you know what? We need to baptize babies to get rid of their original sin. And one error led to another when in the beginning they baptized people upon profession of faith. These people believed, and for their faith, they had received the remission of sins. So they were baptized as a result in the name of Jesus Christ because they had received the remission of sins. And they were saved. Then they were baptized. And they were people who made a public profession of faith. And thousands were added to the church at that time. So, you know, when people who came out of these churches that taught that baptism was necessary for salvation came to one of these Baptist churches back, 1,300 years ago, 1,400 years ago, 1,500 years ago, whatever, the Baptist would say, listen, you know, when you either immersed or sprinkled before you were ever saved, that's not a scriptural baptism. We're going to baptize you scripturally for the first time. And that's what they did. But their enemies said, hey, we already baptized them once. You're rebaptizing them. And so they coined the term Anabaptist rebaptizers. And so this is something the Baptists have fought against, you know, going back to the first couple of centuries when error on baptism began to be taught. So I know I kind of went a little long into several things there, Terry. Thank you for bearing with me on my...
It's good for everybody to know all this.
Yeah.
Very important.
Yeah, and
I've had people tell me that if you're not baptized in tongues...
Well, that's a whole other thing because...
You know, if you don't speak in tongues.
Yeah, and you know, the problem with that is the Bible is very clear. Let me go over here to 1 Corinthians. And the Bible is very clear that God gives the gifts that he wants to give to certain people. And here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it's very clear here. He says in verse number 4, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Spirit's capitalized. It's the Holy Spirit. Now, and then he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 5, and there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but the same God which worketh all in all. Let me pause there for a minute. What he's saying is there's different gifts, and those gifts can be administered differently and operate differently in different people depending on what the Lord chooses to do. And then he says this in verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one, it didn't say to all, it says for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. To another, again he doesn't say to all, to another knowledge by the same Spirit. Verse 9, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. Now notice it never says that everybody gets all of these, and it doesn't single out tongues and say to all diverse kinds of tongues. It says to another, which means some get it and some didn't in the early church. Now we're talking in the early church here in the first century, and we're going to keep the conversation there for the moment because he says to another diverse kinds of tongues. Not everybody in the first century church spoke in tongues. Now, the disciples did on the day of Pentecost when the church was birthed into the world. If you think of it this way, the church, you know, and you look at its birth into the world, think about how a human baby comes into the world. There's conception, and then for 9 months, the baby is carried in the mother, not seen by the world, but the world begins to take a little notice because as the pregnancy progresses, but then the baby's born into the world, and what happens? The baby makes a loud cry, right? And people take note, this baby's alive. And then the baby begins to grow, and then finally goes out on its own. Well, think of the conception of the church being when Jesus came and he called out his disciples and he began working with them. And then the birth, when the church made a noise and cried out and the world could see that it's alive, as the day of Pentecost when they went out speaking in tongues. And by the way, the tongues that they spoke in were known languages because it lists the languages that they spoke in. People said, hey, these are, you know, how are these guys speaking in our language? And it names the languages there. And so now we see the church is now growing and it's maturing. And so he says that in this church, some to another the interpretation or another diverse kinds of tongues, not all of them, just some. And then let's continue down a little bit further here where he says in verse 27, this is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27. He says, now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular, and God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. He says, some, not all, have these various gifts. He says in verse 29, are all apostles? Well, obviously no. Are all prophets? Again, obviously no. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? No to that one as well. Verse 30, have all the gifts of healing? Well, the answer there, of course, is no. Do all speak with tongues? No, he didn't make an exception here and say yes. No, he means no, not all had the spoken tongues. Do all interpret? No, not all interpreted. And these gifts were given by God according to his purposes. Let me back up in chapter 12 here to verse 11. But all these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will, which means God decides who gets what spiritual gift. We don't go to God and say, hey, I want this gift and I'm not going to give up until you give me this gift. No, God divides to each person. What's that? Exactly. Exactly.
I say something real quick.
Yes, sir.
Felicity of the word, I believe, that people need to get back to.
Yes, exactly. And in fact, and we're running out of time quickly here, one last thing there, as you get into chapter 14, it then says that the operation of the gift in tongues in this first century church in Corinth was verse 27, if any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two or at the most by three, meaning only two or three people at the very most, not two or three dozen, and that by course, and let one interpret, meaning they have to take turns. One person, then the second person, and at most a third person, and only if there's an interpreter. So if there's no interpreter, they're to keep silent. Well, we're out of time. I want to thank you for listening tonight. God bless. Have a great week.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and every Friday night at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 o'clock on this station.